Hey everybody, welcome to the Gold Members Podcast, episode 34, I believe that this is. Today, I'm going to talk about politics and martial arts a little bit. I've had the odd person, more than the odd person, several people actually, who tend to hang around any of the DKI people who are teaching, or Dillman himself when he was doing seminars on a regular basis and all that. And one of the comments from many of them was, never seen you there. Well, actuality, I attended many of George's seminars. The ones that were in Ontario and the ones that were in Michigan, as well as I went to his camp on a couple of different occasions. But as far as going out to Chicago for Will Higginbottom's seminars or of those things, no, I didn't. I followed Steve Stewart everywhere he went, where I possibly could. And I also attended several other people in Toronto over time. But the reason that I mention that is there's a reason that I didn't. And that reason is, as long as I stayed within the confines of DKI, I was not going to get anywhere. Now, when you're dealing with 40-year-plus martial arts people, I have to qualify that now because I'm in the 30-plus range there. You deal a lot with the old ways, right? And there's nothing wrong with the old ways. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying I don't participate, right? The more people that you, as an example, more of your students that you would bring to a Dillman camp, Murray liked you. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? I like people who buy stuff, right? That's just human nature. That's the way it is. However, I, at the time, was running a full-time martial arts school, and that was how I was eating, and it was a very large school. I had 300 people in my system. And to be traipsing all around the world, trying to do that, would be very, very difficult. Right. That's why, I mean, the opportunities I had, I did get to teach at Dillman's camp in Reading, Pennsylvania twice when I was there, 2010 and 2011 or 2012. I taught at Steve Stewart's many, many times. In fact, every time he had one, pretty much after I had attained about third degree black belt under his Kyusho system. But the crux of it is opportunity goes to those who grease the wheel, right? And that's no different than anything else. Tournaments, belonging to organizations, the big martial arts organizations, the more that you contribute, the bigger your voice is. That's human nature. That's the way it is. However, I don't work well under somebody, right? I am not the type of person who could have Grandmaster Dillman say, well, you know what, we'll let you go to Romania, but you can't go to Germany because that belongs to this person. I can't operate that way. Therefore, I kept a fairly low profile while I was in all of that, and I also spent the time learning as much as possible. Now, when it came to Steve Stewart, he held no bounds on me whatsoever. He says, as long as you're not interfering with what I'm doing, I don't care what you do. Right. Now, reminded me because there was an incident that had come up when we had a board meeting of KIA back, I think it was in 2012 or something like that, 2012-2013, in which we were just finishing up the meeting and we were sitting in Steve's office, and he said to me, he says, oh, he says, I keep forgetting, Dillman wants to know why you're selling all that crap on online, referring to ebooks and videos and stuff. And I laughed, and Chad Berry was sitting there, and Chad laughed, and he goes, who cares? And Steve said to Chad, I need an answer to the question. I said, well, you know, tell George to make money. He should understand that. And Steve said, is that what you want me to say to him? I said, yeah, that's what I want you to say to him. I said, Steve, between myself and my two boys, I've invested like $20,000 in Kyusho education. I'd like to get that back. Someday. And he goes, well, I says, I'll tell him that then. He says, actually, yeah, he will respect that. Now, George has made millions off of Kyusho. And more power to him. He's done a fantastic job of it. But that's why I created the group, the Kyushu Jitsu World Alliance, and all of that, was to get away from that type of politics, where I'm not going to favor somebody because they bring the most students to the RMATC or something. I'm going to favor somebody who works the hardest trying to develop himself and his students. Right? Because in the long run, I'm going to benefit from it. I certainly don't sit there and go, well, you know, I'm not in it for the money. Well, yeah, I got to eat too, right? We all have to eat. Money is just the way life is. It is your outlook and your thought processes when it comes to that. The students who contribute the most do get certain breaks because I think they deserve them, right? Because without them, I would be working a lot harder than I necessarily am. So, you know, there is, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. But as far as the heavy politics of it, no, I'm not interested. Now, I would never have made it big with DKI because the top ends were all sewn up, at least until people start to die and retire. And once George completely steps out of the limelight in Kyushu, I don't even want to think of what's going to happen to the organization. Because like all of them, just look at Ed Parker's Kenpo or Aikido, everything falls apart when the founder's gone. The power struggles begin then with people who always got along. And I have no interest in that. I can't be bothered with that sort of thing. Right? There are better ways to do it. And that is the whole thing. I had an incident where I was supposed to be going to Portugal to teach, and I was in Bucharest, and I was supposed to go in a couple of days to Portugal, and they canceled at the last minute. That's what I get for not taking a deposit, but you know, it's the way it is, because they had brought somebody else in at three times the price, right? Thinking, of course, that had something to do with something. Guy contacted me at the end of the weekend. Well, it was about a week later, actually. I was back in Canada and told me how fantastic the seminar was. I said, that's great. Happy for you. Did you guys learn something? What'd you learn? And he didn't know how to answer the question because he saw a hell of a show, but there was not a whole lot of learning going on. And that is quite often what does happen with these things. Because, you know, buddy, whoever he is, wants to protect his next seminar with you, he doesn't teach you a whole hell of a lot, right? And I can't operate that way. I want people to learn things, and then if they want me back, they want me back to learn more, right? I have no interest in showing people what I can do. I know what I can do, and that's all that really matters when it comes to that. Now, I'm not going to say that this is a rant by any means, but it sort of answers the question as to, because I'm making a splash at this point in time, and a lot of people are looking at me going, how did this happen, right? Because they feel that I am intruding on their on what they are doing, which is totally bogus. I'm not competition for another Kyushu person. My competition is things like Krav Maga or Sistema or things like that. Because I'm not into Kyushu for the show or necessarily for people to attain the rank, even though that does come in handy. I'm in it to help people improve their systems so that they will be able to teach effective self-defense to people in a day and age in which effective self-defense has become very, very critical. Anyways, that's it for today's Gold Members Podcast. We will catch you guys next time. Have a great week and talk to you soon. Ciao.